College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It's time for 5 on. Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I've been told we have a giveaway later in our show. I'm going to ask for help with the information on this. You guys just telegraph it to me via our rundown. Because I just found out about it, so...
Or you just give it to me.
Keep listening for the giveaway info. Well, somebody. It's got to be put in our rundown, though, because I can't find the
email. We got some Who tickets.
Who tickets?
For give the it away yeah. now.
Give it away now.
I thought what's on second?
But we're not giving it away now.
I don't know who's on third.
We're not. I'm just singing.
You guys just combined a billion bits. That was a very impressive out of you all.
We did.
We're an impressive lot.
We got to tighten it up, though, a little bit. We got to get back in the writer's room.
Depends on who you ask.
No,
I like
radio.
The improv better.
You're right.
I still can't get over our Michael Jordan segment where we lost all sense of logic.
Well, only one of us was illogical, the one that said, although
who?
I have softened my opinion on Mark Grody's stance,
that
I will say that.
Michael All Jordan right. will eventually buy
idea,
the Bulls.
I have an idea, gentlemen. Can we revisit it at 12:45?
Sure.
All right, 12:45, revisiting Michael Jordan discussion, the NBA draft lottery, Marshall's theory that actually makes sense, but I had to give him hell. In the meantime, this is 5 on it. 5
on it. What was the most disappointing aspect of the Cubs series against the Mets this weekend?
It was yesterday. Yesterday is the answer. You can't waste good starts out of your available starters like Matt Boyd, who has done nothing but work for us and brought us wonderful interviews and a lovely perspective. But most importantly, the Cubs have absolutely found wonderful value with him. He's de facto the number 2 in the rotation right now.
I'd say number 1.
Ooh, that's another 5 on a question. But when he goes 6 strong, you can't reward him with only 3 hits. 3 hits total in the game, and as I said before, I feel like I've been talking about this for a million years. The difference is this year, in 2025, I'm not doing it as often, except on Mondays, where they're 1-6 on Sundays.
For me, the most disappointing part of this was Jameson Taillon. I'm sorry, but that's why he's number 2 right now, because you can't have outings where you're giving up home runs in the manner in which he did. And they need better starting pitching. And when I say better, they don't even have to be great. They just have to be adequate to keep the offense in the game. So what I mean by that is give up 4 runs or less and go 6 innings. That's what they need from every starter from now on.
Yeah, and I will just add this to your Jameson Taillon take because I love it. I think that's a great answer, and I may have even gone with him. I'm gonna give a different one just for the sake of the show.
It's okay to agree with me.
No, I do agree with you, but I want to
be honest.
I've got other stuff though too. Jameson Taillon coming into that game had given up 0 home runs against lefties. He gave up 4 home runs against lefties in that game, which was ridiculous. I was so disappointed when PCA got caught stealing in that game for some reason, because I'm like, wait a minute.
You're not used to it.
He doesn't get caught stealing, and it's in New York. Like, I felt really bad for him in that moment. And then I'll go back to what I was talking about. My real answer is what happened yesterday with Porter Hodge and Gavin Hollowell both going back and forth, giving up home runs in that game. I'm a little worried, and I know, Layla, you're right. Be rational, be reasonable. Porter Hodge is just getting, he had a 1-run save, of course, on Saturday, so I'm going to give Porter Hodge time, but we went through this last year where Adbert Alzolay, Ryan Presley, was not effective, and then you had to go to Hector Neris, eventually not effective. Now they're on their second closer, Deja vu, I'm feeling a little trauma because of the bullpen right now.
Dude, Ryan Presley and Hector Neris, or Ryan Presley and Aber Alsalai are not the same.
I mean in the fact that they were, to start the season, they were expected to be the closers that would last the entire season.
Fair enough.
And neither has.
No. 5
on it. The Cubs play their next 9 games against the last place Marlins and the last place White Sox. 6 against the Marlins, 3 against the White Sox. What is the minimum number of wins the Cubs should have to be able to call this a successful stretch.
I'll tell you how many. Six. Why are you looking at me like that all dramatic? Because
I was super curious and intrigued by what your answer would be.
What?
I thought you were trying to stop laughing because Robbie said
successful. You know what it reminded me of?
Hard.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live Moe Chandon bit they did with Justin Timberlake? And they're like, there's reasons to celebrate with Moe Chandon. Successful surgery. And then Justin Timberlake gets wheeled in. He's like, did somebody say celebrate? I just had a conversation with a friend of mine about how that like really applied to 10 people. We all lost it, and everybody else watching may not understand the joke.
What about bleep in a box?
Well, that applies to a lot of things.
Bleep in a box.
I guess, yeah.
There's a lot of
ding
bleep
dong in a box.
My favorite part about all of it was that they were dressed like... unbelievable. The best part was them dressed like Color Me Bad. I don't know why that was my favorite part of the whole bit.
With the facial hair?
Yeah, that was the layer of it that sent me howling.
It was a good video.
Marshall 6. Is that enough?
Nope.
No?
Nope. Normally, you know what I believe. You know my core tenets here. At home, win 2/3 of your games, which would be 6.
Right.
On the road, go 500. It's the last place Marlins and the last place White Sox. 7 wins. I need 7. Get 5 more games above 500 than you are today.
So you're asking one of these things to be a sweep?
Yeah, I am.
I'll take 6. There's been way too many times where we've looked at the schedule, and in theory, you're absolutely correct, Marshall. It never really works out that way. And I bet it doesn't work out that way for a lot of teams when they look at those schedules. Usually that stuff works out like late in the season where you're in winning mode and it's on. And so you're just sweeping through these bad teams too early in the season to just run over bad teams. Hate to say it. I will take 6, though.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
The goal is to beat up on the bad teams, right?
Absolutely.
When I say like win 2/3 of your games, I'm talking about just in general. I account for maybe you don't win every series against the good teams. But tell me who's in second place in the National League Central today.
Cardinals.
How many games in a row have they won?
7, 8?
Oh, it's 8.
Yeah, 8. Yeah.
You know who they played in those 8 game stretches?
Really bad teams,
They
guessing.
Took 2 or 3 from the Mets.
Okay.
Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And then they won.
They stepped right up and they met the Mets.
Yep. And then they won 3 in a row against the Pirates and 3 in a row and against the Nationals.
Yeah.
If you don't beat down the bad teams and other teams beat down the bad teams, what happens then?
That's pretty good stuff by you. That's pretty good stuff.
All right. No, so
well,
7.
Well said.
7-2.
Well said. I'm still staying at 6.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
no, but really well laid out. Seriously.
And quality of opponent, I still say 6 as well.
That's why the Cards are 1 game back.
I did take note of that. All of a sudden, the division doesn't look horrible anymore. I hate that.
Well, it's because it never really was. You can't build a team based on hope about your division being bad.
Baseball's not, like, you go through the division, there's some dumpster fire teams. Colorado, the White Sox, we know that, but
so beat them and treat them like dumpster fire teams.
Hold on, the Sox, are they still in dumpster fire category?
Yeah. We'll address that later in the show.
Yeah, Marshall's got stuff.
Is it later or is it in this segment?
Maybe it is. Well, that's still later in the show.
Bears.
After first baseman Tim Elko's performance over the weekend, are the White Sox on the edge of something?
Marshall Harris, ladies and gentlemen.
So it was next.
Later in the show, as in now, as in on deck.
And that was correct. It was 10 seconds later.
In the batter's box. Yes, the White Sox are onto something. Do you know Bruce Levine, who contributes here on the score?
Bruce.
Employee. He brought up a good point earlier
Bruce
today
Levine
on Mullion Hall.
Talks baseball with you.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Did you know that the Cubs and the White Sox are right there together when it comes to pitching ERA? Right, same ballpark. So the big difference has been the offenses of both those teams. One has been very, very good. The other has been very, very poor. What if I told you that with the arrival of now Tim Elko hitting bombs, 3-run home runs off Sandy Alcantara, who some people say the Cubs should look at and trade for? What if I told you there's other guys coming? Mike Tauchman. Wow. He can hit. He's a professional hitter.
When is that supposed to happen, by the way?
Soon. I think he's in his rehab in AAA. Gage Workman also rehabbing back. I think there are reinforcements coming, and the White Sox and Cubs fans better hope it's not this weekend might be able to put together what looks like a non-AAA lineup.
You did not just say Gage Workman as a reinforcement, did you?
I did.
I
that's
heard
just
you
my
backstage.
Soft spot for him.
Yeah, okay, that's your soft spot.
I left the tater out, though. I left the tater out. I want to point that out. That's a big step for me, is it not, Layla, to leave the tater
He'll
out?
He'll hit a tater out.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, If the White Sox can find a way to start hitting, look out. My 46.5 under a shot.
The Tim Elko home run was definitely heartening. It was just a high, towering, beautiful three-run jack to left field. You know what else I thought about because of the stuff with that one minor leaguer who was taking shots at Andrew Vaughn? I did take note in that game that Andrew Vaughn's like, I got to do something too here. So he did have an RBI hit off of our guy, Alcantara, as well. That's another guy. You got to get that dude going as well. But what was the question again? Are the White Sox going to get going?
On the edge of...
Of the edge
something.
Of...
Oh. Something. There were ellipses between... Of and something.
Of something. Okay, so I guess they're on the no, they're not. I don't think they're on the
wow.
edge. So I can't get it. Like, I do love Mike Talkman. Like, great opposite field hitter. Works the count. Great example to the youngsters. A professional in every way. I would tell my child to learn how to play baseball from somebody like Mike Talkman. Just after having seen what I have seen the last 2 years and in this year already, can't do it yet.
Layla? I can't wait for Dave to get Mike Talkman hitting lessons. I'm looking forward to that. Andrew Vaughn, by the way, has 2 home runs in his last 3 games. So I would say, here's a concept. Protection in the lineup when you respect a hitter actually makes a difference for other hitters. Isn't that neat?
It
is
neat.
What a warm and fuzzy idea that is.
So you think they're on the cusp, Layla?
I do think that the White Sox are on the edge of...
What?
Something.
Wow.
Because they just won their 3rd series.
Okay, what? Can anybody define what this something is?
Yes, some improvement. I don't need a lot of improvement.
Are they
going to
win?
I just need some improvement.
Let me ask you a question. Is it winning time?
They just won 2 or 3 against the Marlins.
Okay.
But here's the other piece of this to me.
Marshall just told me the Marlins suck, though. So
they do, but the Sox also aren't great.
So if the Sox win 2 out of 3, what should the Cubs do against the Marlins?
I mean, of course.
Sweeps. Well, how about Matt Mervis and revenge
play that, which that's kind of a dirty question.
What about the Matt Mervis revenge game?
It's just, what do you expect me to say?
It's a direct comparison.
What do you expect me to say in that spot?
But here's
you're expecting to sweep somebody?
Well, I mean, when you put it that way, you kind of led me into it.
But here's the other
piece
of
what
this.
Do you call it?
Leading questions?
No. Yeah, I guess so.
Leading a horse to water, see if they'll drink, take a sip. God.
Both of you are correct, though. Number one, is there a Matt Mervis revenge game on deck? Is that possible? I want to point out this, though, is the message this sends to the team. Hard work will get rewarded. So,
very
therefore,
important.
Not hard work will get what?
Sent down to the minors?
I mean, not even sent down, but maybe you just don't see as much playing time. And for the reasons you just mentioned, Marshall, there are big leaguers coming online.
You know what we got to do at some point in time? Let's do a Sox exercise where we figure out who is going to still be on this team in August.
I don't want to do that.
August?
That makes me sad.
Or September.
All the young guys.
Well,
all the young guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's do position by position.
The question is whether or not you think Luis Robert is.
Well, no, that's he'll part be of gone. It.
And
he'll
Andrew Vaughn. And will Tim Elko still be here? I think that would be fun.
That's a good question.
Tim Elko, in honor of Cheryl Elko, his mom, getting the big league home run. I like it, but it also sends a message to the rest of your teammates, which I also like. And all that together means you, yes, are on the edge of
something. Okay. Laying that big timber.
We didn't get anywhere.
I love that Grody said that if he had a kid, the player he wanted to teach him is Mike Talkman.
That was a very Dustin morning show take out of you.
From a fundamental stamp, from an
if
approach.
You had
I can name like
a kid,
100 more.
Which child would learn from Mike Talkman?
I mean, I'm saying like the approach at the plate that he has is excellent.
I would like maybe like Aaron Judge.
I mean,
Freddie
I'd like
Freeman.
Kyle Tucker would be great. I don't think he's available. I've heard he's never in the clubhouse.
It's about availability.
Yeah, it's about availability.
That. Let's move on to different sport. Question number 4. What is the biggest position of need for the Chicago Bears?
It hasn't changed since, it just hasn't changed. It's edge. Somebody get to the quarterback from the edge. Is that unreasonable?
Wait, are the Bears on the edge of
What are the Bears on the edge of?
I wish they were on the edge of getting to the quarterback. How about that? I want somebody to get to the quarterback from defensive. I want tackles to sweat when they look up at the line of scrimmage and worry about something. I don't feel like opposing tackles worry that much when they face the Bears. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I've been with you on this. Okay. Your leading sacker should not have 5.5 sacks.
Can we get somebody to double digits?
That would be great. That would be ideal.
Yeah, like Montez Sweat, come on back. Come on back, please. Please, Montez, be what you were 2 years ago, and then the Bears will be... I'm with you, Marshall. I mean, like, from the beginning... I hope Dayo Odangbo is an absolute revelation. You know what I mean? Like, I hope I am... wrong. But
the fact that he would be a revelation kind of tells the story, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they're paying him like he's going to be.
When they tell you that, you got to watch the tape. You got to look at what this guy does. Okay. Get to the quarterback.
Pressure.
Get to the get pressure. To the quarterback. Get
hey, look, if it was flag football, woo, oh, man. He'd be all pro. First team.
The unfortunate.
Two-hand touch.
Oh, man. It's true. Thank you. Yes, maybe Grady Jarrett will have that effect. I don't know, but I'm tired of hearing about how it's got to come from other places, from the inside. So, yes, Marshall, I will agree with you and not try to find some other answer because you said it.
The Bears take me back to one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five Mississippi, and then you get to rush the quarterback. No. When the ball snapped, you get to rush the quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good at being almost there. That's what I saw a lot.
So they're on the edge of something?
Right. They were almost there.
So we're all three in.
Layla. Running back.
Okay. Oh, you're still there. Okay.
Yes.
I haven't changed my stance.
Okay.
How do you like them apples?
I like that stand on business then.
And again, Ben Johnson's like, blah, 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 this offense is based on the run. Okay. You show me that.
I think Robert Mays is with you too. I mean,
show me how this offense is based on the run.
They're going to scheme it up to show you is what I've been told because the roster says something's back there that we can use.
If this were the outthinking league, how many games would the Bears have won then?
Ben Johnson is going to the pantry. He hasn't been grocery shopping, but you know what? You can always find something in the pantry to put together to make a little meal.
Yep.
That's what he's going to do.
Tuna and quinoa for your girl this week. I'm going to mix in some cherry tomatoes and some cucumbers. It's an interesting approach. But you know what? I'm not the one who's paying millions of people to run the football.
Fair.
I'm paying my pantry zero.
Did these comments by Kyle Freeland have something to do with the Rockies firing manager Bud Black yesterday?
Did we get there? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what are the things that you're seeing?
Don't know. What they're doing is right, what we're doing is wrong. And we're not winning baseball games as clear as day. We're playing bad brand of baseball all around. Pitching, fielding, hitting. It's bad.
Kyle, I know you got a lot of love for this fan base. What would be your message to them just to keep them in the building as the team tries to figure out some of these struggles?
Keep believing us. Keep riding.
That's even worse when I hear it without the video. That was really sad. I didn't mean to bring down the mood of the entire room, but after that, I understand why the Rockies thought they needed to make a change.
So it's like he's being passive aggressive, right? I heard that right. Like he said, "Oh, it's all our fault," right? That's what he's doing.
I don't think so. I think he was just trying to illustrate the contrast of what they've been doing and hadn't been working. That was my interpretation, but it's open for discussion.
Okay.
But the reason I wanted to bring it up was just when you consider, for example, the hope that we've talked about, whether it's the Bears or even, frankly, the Bulls, who did improve their situation this season. We had some fun with it, sure, earlier, but the overall theme being that's what happens when you have something to look forward to. That sounded like nothing. And that's the hard part, is when you're an organization where you know you're handcuffed by ownership financially, and then you're still having to make decisions as the manager. And I guess somebody had to pay the price. But Bud Black is an established manager in this league and had been with that team for 9 years. He was also with San Diego. You know, the guy knows what he's doing, was a part of the 85 Royals, for example. But I don't know. What can you do when certain layers of your team will not spend?
Oh, I was going to say you could spend more money and get better players, but that you just told me I couldn't do that because of the way the question was asked.
I'm asking you, you can.
I just want to put in perspective how bad this team is. Not only are they on pace to shatter the White Sox record for fewest wins in a season, they have 7 through 40 games.
33 losses.
That goes to about 29 wins in a season. That is abysmal. The White Sox, who have the next best record at 12-29, have a run differential of -35. The team with the second worst run differential of baseball would be the Baltimore Orioles and the Miami Marlins, the Miami Marlins at -69. The Rockies have a run differential of -128 through 40 games. -128 is bad.
That's pretty bad. I will just say this, just to wrap this up. 9 years is a long time. So I always say this, and I know that there's things you can look into specifics. I always say this about Lovie Smith, too. Like, you got a fair chance. You got a 9 years is a lifetime as a manager or a head coach in any sport.
Or nine lifetimes.
Absolutely.
A
nine
years lifetime.
Mm-hmm. So I'll just say, like, not good enough for the Rockies for the last few years. What they're doing right now, as you said, historically bad. Maybe it's not Bud Black's fault, but you have to make a change, and usually changes, for better or for worse, right or wrong, starts with the manager.
I like the quote from Dave Roberts where he said not even Casey Stengel could have fixed the Rockies.
I saw that.
That was a brilliant way of putting it. Now, Dave used to be Bud's bench coach, but that is a point when it comes to all of that. Or he used to be an assistant on his staff, rather. Ricky Renteria was the bench coach, I believe, for Bud Black that year. But you get the point. We have more to come here on the Midday Show. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, and you. And next, we take away the biggest thoughts from Bears rookie minicamp that we had over the weekend. We all bring some points and counterpoints to this. So Bears talk next on The Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi and Harris.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois.
Who's calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
It's a balancing act with the rookies here right now because some are a little bit more in shape than others. So we want to be smart with how we're taking care of their bodies, and we're not pushing them too hard and have the soft tissue things pop up already. So the tempo of practice right now might be a little bit slower than what it will be in the future.
That was Ben Johnson after the three-day rookie minicamp that was at Halas Hall. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. And it was one of our five on it questions, but we thought it would make a better topic. And that was perhaps either what your biggest takeaway was, or I believe the wording was what your favorite nugget was from Bears rookie minicamp. And that actually was one of them for me, was Ben Johnson talking about how to prevent and the shape that he was concerned the athletes were in when it came to soft tissue injuries. That was up there for me in the discussion.
I mean, that's important because we see it every year, soft tissue injuries, and you start wondering, okay, what's wrong with this guy? Are they doing the right things to prevent and maintain these professional athletes? Because the best ability is still availability. And I just worry with every team. This isn't a football thing. This is every team that I've ever covered, followed, cheered for, whatever. Health is always that thing that if you get too comfortable, you take it for granted. Next thing you know, somebody's got a pulled hamstring, a strained oblique, shoulder tightness. There's just so many different things that can go wrong.
I agree with that. My nugget would be the continued, I suppose, this is probably exaggerating, breathless reporting over.
Breathless.
And excitement over.
This is about the hype train?
I don't like doing this, but over seventh round draft pick and running back, Kyle Manungai, it's just hilarious. Seeing the video of him and the comments from people, oh, that looks good out there. Man, this guy could be something. We did this with Khalil Herbert to some degree. Khalil Herbert, a former sixth round, he was fine. Like, Khalil Herbert was fine. They got what they could get out of a sixth-round pick. But everybody was ready to say goodbye to Khalil. Does anybody remember Khalil Herbert?
I don't know that they're ready to say goodbye as much as the Bears traded him.
They
were, but I don't know that I was necessarily.
Oh, you were team Khalil Herbert? Keep Khalil Herbert on so he can get caught from behind a few more times while running down the middle of the field? I mean,
are you saying Manungai's not going to get caught from behind?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Did he get past the line of scrimmage? Because if so, that's a plus.
No, that's true. Oh, I see, which is relative to what happened.
Yep.
I feel you on that. But on the overall, though, it's And this is something we do in Chicago. And I get it. I'm probably complicit with it at times. We are really excited about, even though it's not an era of running back, when there's a new running back drafted on this team, it's probably because of the history of great running backs that have existed with the Bears, that our senses are a little bit more heightened when it comes to running backs in this town because of Walter Payton and Gale Sayers and Neil Anderson and Thomas Jones and Matt Forte and on and on and on. We get excited about disproportionately. We are there again with Kyle Manungai, the seventh round running back that doesn't have a lot of speed, but he's big and strong and he's got a great story and all that. And maybe that's where it stays. Maybe this is just a May story that we get excited about. And I'm sure I'll be tweeting about it once I hit training camp in the OTAs. But I'm just a little concerned about the excitement over the seventh round draft.
But Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Bears coaching staff, as they stepped to the mic, explain whether that was the running backs coach, Eric Bieniemy, or the offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, that there is playing time for Kyle Manungai to have? It is available to him?
They say that kind of stuff every... There's playing time available to everybody.
No,
right,
there's
now.
Not. There's not,
competition
though.
Everywhere. Oh, I know. I know that. And that's why he's probably not going to get a whole hell of a lot of playing time out there. Well, unless he can out... I don't know. I guess the other side of it would be the Roschon Johnson side. Like, can he be better than Roschon Johnson, a fifth-round pick for the Bears? The you know, that everybody thought that he was the big hope for the Bears?
See, that's my issue with this, is so many times we are caught repeating the talking points of those who are trying to justify their decision.
Right.
And then when we push back, then we're labeled negative or horrible or whatever else. You
that's
guys
why I was careful
ahead.
In my pushback.
No, but I'm talking about like listeners
right,
or whatever
right.
else. Like, oh, why are you saying this? Because sometimes somebody has to say it.
Yes.
Like, I understand that you're thrilled as a team that you got the best backup running back in the NCAA. My issue is there's more than 100 programs in Division I, and you still drafted a backup running back.
Yeah, and you know what?
And that's a relative question mark.
And here's the thing. The Bears know that, too.
And I'm not talking about Manungai. I'm talking about the hemming and hawing that went on and on about Roschon Johnson. And I wanted Roschon Johnson to succeed.
Of course.
And the book is not done on him. But it talks about and illustrates the obsession with wish casting over these late round running backs that's really unduly putting pressure on them.
The Bears know that too. They know that a seventh round pick is a coin flip. They understand this. I'm not saying the Bears don't understand.
No, but we're the ones who still repeat their talking points.
We are doing it. Right.
Well,
right.
I think the other thing is with this specifically, because he was drafted and we knew their need was running back and he was the only one drafted, it's hard not to say this guy's going to get some type of run doing something. Although, at the end of the day, Layla, you make a great point. Seventh round draft picks can easily end up on the scrap heap.
Yes.
Easily.
Yeah. It's just
easily.
The way it goes. Yeah.
So
same with the sixth round pick.
Are you kidding? With this team, third round on.
Uh-huh. I mean,
hate to be the bearer of obvious news again, but that's been the case.
There's no third round pick here, though, this year.
Nobody's safe. You know, and thusly they shouldn't be if they're not providing appropriate production at the NFL level. We are broadcasting live through the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I want to remind you that this Friday, May 16th, head to Coombs Corner in Lockport after the big game. Enjoy Yuengling Game Day bucket specials for $12. Score some Yuengling swag plus live music later that night. Don't miss the postgame party this Friday night at Coombs Corner.
May I read a text really quickly here from the 847? Grody is complaining about the own narrative that he himself writes about, question mark. Is that what I heard there? I think you're conflating me with our teammate Chris Emma. I do believe that might be a Chris Emma take, but I don't want to slander
Emma.
Yeah,
we're not
either.
All the same, and we don't all have the same
opinions. Right, and I don't write. I am not a writer.
Also, 847 on this said text line, a backfield of Swift, Johnson, and Manungai. I say guy because he spells it G-U-Y in all caps, that particular part, because that must be his guy.
Manungai!
Could be effective based on line play and scheme, but it's not the best situation. I think that is a very reasonable take. I'm waiting to see what happens if they go out and get what Layla says they need, which is another running back. But overall, my biggest takeaway from rookie minicamp is just that Ozzie Trapillo, what's up, starting left tackle? Mm-hmm. Let's see how this goes, because I think it's real, and I think there's a real possibility that week one he will be your starting left tackle.
Yeah, I like Ozzie Trapillo. I think he thinks he's capable of the role, and a lot of times that's what matters the most. One of my biggest impressions from what we heard was the Dennis Allen experience. Number one, how many times did he happily or emphatically talk about guys who can run? The way he said it, even, like, there's a tone there. I feel like that's a trigger. So I understand why Ruben Hypolite, for example, got drafted, because he can run. Like, the way you heard Dennis Allen and how passionately he talked about people who can run, that was evident that he wants speed out of his defense.
Speed and maybe some power and size mixed in, but speed seems to be the overwhelming trait that was the focus, right?
Yeah, I like guys to wrap up and make tackles myself.
I'll give you guys another one. But first, I would like to read the following to you. Tune in to the Raheemy and Harris Show on 670 The Score all week for your chance to win tickets to see The Who on Sunday, September 7th at the United Center. Tickets go on sale this Friday, May 16th. I heard a story. I think it was Chris Emma, actually, that I was listening to on the radio with Steve Rosenblum.
Actually, it's Zapillo.
Oh, yeah, Zapillo, right, who was on Bears 2. He is the right tackle for Bears 2. But I heard Chris Emma talking about Shamar Turner and how Shamar Turner turned down he could have gotten a ride on the golf cart out to Field 4, which is a little bit of a hike, and so you know, like, to conserve your energy, he said he wanted to walk and take it all in and just enjoy the experience. And so much of that, there's not a lot to derive, obviously, from what reporters are seeing on the field this weekend at Halas Hall, but it's all about the orientation and the feeling that the rookies have and implementing the very, very basics of the playbook and things like that. And I love it when guys really appreciate the moment, and I'm sure a lot of them do, but some guys more than others, and I just got the feeling that second-round rookie Shamar Turner really appreciated and enjoyed it and really appreciates being with the Chicago Bears.
Do we have the Dennis Allen audio? Is like the first thing he said in his availability on Saturday, where he basically told everybody to relax. That cracked me up, just the way he sat down and took the podium, and he was like, okay, guys. And my notes were, Dennis Allen opens up telling everyone to slow their roll. That cracked me up, the way he put it, because he was just like, okay, guys, it's rookie minicamp. Like, nothing groundbreaking is going to happen here. I'm paraphrasing, but it was a funny way that he put it, because we're so, again, breathlessly asking questions.
Oh, yeah, and if I was out there, I would be breathlessly asking questions, too. We're all looking, like, as reporters, for the right tone, the right tenor, to like know what we what can we actually, it's not easy.
It's what can you ascertain from 3 days of rookies basically at freshman orientation.
You know what this season is? This part of the season is really where we all ask, what about Danks? In some way, shape, or form, because you're just asking about individuals that you have questions about.
Oh yeah, anything goes. This is like, we may not be asking about Luke Newman a lot in week 3. We might not be talking about Ruben Hypolite. God bless Ruben Hypolite and the speed that he has. We may not be asking. This is really our only time to be asking about such.
No, I mean,
players.
Training camp too, right? But this is it until the actual season begins.
Right.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is once we get to the next, even OTAs and into training camp, like you're talking about, there will be other players there that we know will have more significant roles than the group that was assembled at Halas Hall this past weekend.
Veteran minicamp will be a thing. I mean, that's when we'll see those new interior guys. We'll see Grady Jarrett, in effect, Dio Dangbo, everybody. And then we really start to see where things start to line up. So that's when we get to ascertain actual potential information.
When I make my assessments, I like the guys to actually have pads on.
Which is very rare, man. So we
can't. I don't know, man. Dennis Allen is thrilled about the track meet going on the defense.
Are we playing flag football? Is that what?
You heard him though, didn't you guys?
Yeah, I did.
He's like,
I did.
Pressure. Yes.
Za Frazier. Why'd you draft him? He can run. The way he said it was so passionate.
Pressure
on. But Marshall, you have to be able to evaluate these guys without the pads on.
Yeah, because they don't wear pads like they used to.
Because they don't wear pads like they used to. Exactly. And even when they do wear the pads, it's, as they call it, thud. You know what I mean? It's not there are some actual live, like where they really go live, as they call it, but maybe once or twice where you really feel like they're hitting.
The big issue, too, is just that we've so many times seen a Bears team not prepared once the actual game started.
Bears,
that
Bears.
Practice just is rendered confusing.
You take me back to a dark place now, because that whole lead up, build up. And no, then,
I mean, that's it. That's what you have. But he's right. Mark is right. You have to do some evaluation of these guys.
It's hard.
With the tools that you have.
Running backs, you can't. It's really hard. Offensive line, it's almost impossible.
Thankfully,
to
between
evaluate.
This veteran laden coaching staff that they have, they should be able to make better assessments than the last coaching staff.
I'd like to think so. I mean, in theory, for sure. I mean, there's a credibility factor. The resumes that exist for these guys are real, but we've seen those kinds of things fall apart in the past, too.
Yes, we have. Mm-hmm. That said, we shift our gears to tonight's NBA draft lottery, where wish casting is at an all-time high. Mm. Marshall Harris has a theory. We'll introduce you to it next.
Hello, Marshall Harris.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Look, I have full confidence in our staff, regardless what we're picking. I think we can always find value, and watching what Matas has done and his progression during the year, I think that gives you hope. Obviously, this group knows that expectations are going to be higher next year, and I think they're going to be ready for it.
Tune in to Spiegel and Holmes this afternoon, starting at 2, for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs and the Rockies at Wrigley Field on May 26th. It is brought to you by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch.
I already feel like a Bosch. What's good?
Does the vice president of the basketball ops for the Bulls feel like a Bosch?
Is there any reason he shouldn't? Has there been any pressure applied to him for you to believe that his job is in jeopardy anytime soon?
Yeah, that would mean he feels like a Bosch.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, tonight is the NBA's draft lottery. I know you'll all be tuned in at 6 p.m. I think it's on ESPN.
I love that stuff. I will be tuned in.
And it's like ping pong balls. 1.7% chance for the Bulls to get the number one overall pick. 8% chance for them to get a top four pick. And here's the area I want you to realize as those numbers come in and who's picking where. If it's anybody who had the fifth to eighth best odds, just remember that if they jump into the top four. Because that's where the Bulls could have been if they had said, we're tanking.
Isn't that what happened to Atlanta last season?
Atlanta had like a 3% chance, and they won in a very not great Zachary Ricochet. I'm not trying to talk bad about him, but have you heard anything about Zachary Ricochet?
No.
Yeah, he was number one pick that just kind of happened. We'll see if he gets better. He could develop. But here's the bottom line. The NBA has a chance to make something happen tonight. They have a way to push back against all the tanking that goes on. Layla brought up the point earlier that should mediocrity be rewarded? And my response to that is inferiority should definitely not be rewarded. Mediocrity is above inferiority. So I think that they need to cheat. Mark Grody's with me.
Mm-hmm.
Give the Bulls the number one pick and say, this is what happens when you play hard and try, even if your roster is not as good as it should be because you're vice president of basketball president of basketball operations doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know how they plan to get better in terms of adding, because for instance, I heard that there was a megastar, a former MVP, a former finals MVP, possibly available on the trade market. The Bulls have no bullets. They have nothing to fire at the Milwaukee Bucks to attain Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I need y'all to stop today and stop bringing up the Bulls possibly training for Giannis Antetokounmpo. They don't have the parts. Not the players, not the draft capital. They don't have what other teams have because they've chosen not to tank and they've chosen not to make trades that would make their team better in terms of resources. So that's the punishment. You don't get to talk about trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wait, what was the point you were making about Karnaschovas earlier before you got to the Giannis stuff?
He's not done a good job. He's not placed them in a position to win. One thing he has done, though, is try to win, which I think should be rewarded by the NBA cheating and giving the Bulls the number one overall pick to send a message to all the would-be Cooper Flag drafters.
I mean, and that's fair. I get the concept. I just feel like the NBA isn't in the era of basketball reasons anymore. You know, we've talked about how there have been times where there were slights in who got the first overall pick and why. New Orleans and Zion comes to mind. Memphis and Ja that year. You know, the Bulls picked seventh how many times in a row? Even when they had better chances.
So they're due is what you're saying.
No, I think it's the opposite. I feel like the NBA picks who they pick when the franchise has a need.
The Bulls are, they have a need.
They do.
And they have a need to be back in the playoffs and doing well.
Is it still right to say that the NBA is better when the Bulls are better?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been so long since we've even had the discussion.
Yeah, well, I
guess. Which is why I say they're due.
The peak of the Derrick Rose era, right? That's the last time, 2012?
Yeah, I think, I feel like it was like, I was getting here on the tail end of that group of the Bulls. You know, that was, I got here in October of 2015. But so that season.
We all remember the conspiracy surrounding that happening, right? How did the Bulls
D-Rose.
Get the hometown guy, the unquestionable number one overall pick in a year in which they only had a 1.7% chance of doing it? You did it then. You can do it again.
No questions. We won't ask you. Whatever you did, I don't care what you did. I'm looking over here. Do whatever you need to do. Freeze the envelopes. I don't care.
Why is Layla shaking her head?
I'm just frustrated with the whole process because...
Bro, you're such
a
swear.
Is it the draft process or the Bulls process?
Well, okay, so I was going to say I'm frustrated with the process because... The Bulls put themselves in this position to where we're talking about this amount of luck that we need to have when in reality, they're the ones who decided to make trades and only acquire back that pick and the control they're in from San Antonio. You know, that's why we're discussing this. It wasn't extra assets. They wanted players. So here we are talking about this draft lottery as a formality instead of how other teams look at it, which is a way to either add assets that will future change their team, you know, not maybe next year, but the years to come. And instead, we're just trying to figure out if they get another player who fits into this group of 9 or 10 good ones, right?
At 12 overall, probably. That's the likelihood of where you're picking.
And likely that person's going to go to the G League or something. You know, the concept of it being another Modest might not be the case.
That's true.
Just based on how, even though this is a strong draft class, how the odds work at the pick they likely get.
You said the process, trust the process. Because I'm like thinking about, like, would the NBA be more interested in the Bulls being good or the 24-58 Philadelphia 76ers? I mean, like, the worst teams in the league, Washington, 18-64. Were they tanking? Are they waiting for that pick?
Definitely tanking.
Right? So they could teach the lesson with Watt, get, you know, give them Cooper Flag enough. Charlotte, 19-63. Brooklyn. What about Brooklyn? Like, would the NBA be, oh, man, we got to give a boost to Brooklyn. I'm just saying the Bulls might have competition in this scandal we are promoting.
But those teams tanked.
But after everything that happened with the Nets specifically,
I see what
would
you're
you
saying,
consider
Marshall,
their group of superstars and how that all fell apart spectacularly?
Yeah. Utah? 17-65. You guys brought up New Orleans, 21-61.
Yeah, like New Orleans just got unlucky. So many injuries.
You also brought up Giannis, though. And the Bulls, in 2 years, the Bulls wouldn't have enough assets.
Y'all are with me, though, right? Like, we can end this Giannis to the Bulls talk. We don't need to start it. We need to squash it at every turn.
Oh, you don't think Rob Pelinka talking to Nico Harrison again. It's not happening. And even then, it involved Anthony Davis.
So go ahead.
You don't think they'd take a young Modest Bozelis? I couldn't even troll. I couldn't do it.
That's what we're doing, Grody. We're just being
guys. Talon Horton Tucker for Giannis. Who says no?
If I could have done that better,
this
that might
be
have been
a good time to remind you that if you listen today through Thursday for your chance
Stacey
to win
King
tickets,
Stacey King said he was something, man. Like right up there.
To our live broadcast at Brick House in Wrigleyville. Special guest Ian Happ will be there on May 28th. It's all brought to you by Verizon. So listen, and we're going to give away some tickets later on in this show and also through Thursday. But Mark, the Bulls have played themselves out of the chance to trade for a superstar, which going back to last year, I kept telling people, just please get assets so that when a superstar comes available, you can do it.
I feel like this conversation is going to continue offline because stick around. Taylor McGregor coming up in a few minutes right here to talk Cubs on The Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.